Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 13th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you because we're going to be talking about how to go from overwhelmed to overjoyed. First, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, for tuning in today. Whether you're listening to the show live or from the archives, I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join me. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit. It's easy to reach my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. I invite you to go there. You can listen to the episodes that have taken place over the last couple of years, now in our third year. Also, there's a place there to click follow the show. The advantage of that is you'll get notified of each episode, so you'll get a little reminder in your email. You may also add yourself as a friend of the show. In addition, I encourage you to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and you'll see how to do that over on my show page as well. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you one of those 4 out of 5 people who've always wanted to write a book, but you hesitated because you didn't know how to get started? Or maybe you've been writing pages and pages for months, maybe even years, but you don't know how to get your book published. You're just stuck. Now, if this sounds like you, I have created a workshop that will help you go from choosing your title, if that's where you are, to your book cover, how to get your book finished quickly, marketing your book, and getting it printed. This workshop is called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You Are an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. Now, most important in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book even before it's finished. The workshop is available online, and it's also available live here in Southern California. So whichever of those works for you, just go over to my homepage, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you'll see a link there that will take you to the pages giving you the dates and enabling you to sign up. Now, space is really limited, so sign up today if that's of interest to you. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about many things here because they all contribute to your lasting happiness. Now, today, I will be ruling the air to share with you 7 steps for going from overwhelmed to overjoyed. You might want to grab paper and pen, because I'm going to give you some 7 great steps, and you might want to remember them. I know taking notes helps me. So here we go. Today's episode is How to Go from Overwhelmed to Overjoyed. Now, you know what overwhelmed is. It's that feeling of being so engulfed, so submerged with events and things that you just don't believe you can handle them. So this is where we have to start to look at this whole phenomenon of being overwhelmed, and every single person I talk to has horror stories they can share with me about this. So first, let me give you the 7 steps. I'm just going to list them, and then I'm going to go through each one. I'm going to go through and give you as much information as I can in the time we have. Okay, here are the 7 steps. First one, number one, find the cause of your overwhelm. Number two, adjust your mental view. Number 3, assess the reality of the situation. Number 4, open your mind to the positive possibilities. Number 5, do the inner and outer work to reduce and deal with overwhelm. Number 6, replace what no longer serves you. And number 7, share support, and celebrate. So let's go back to number one. What is the cause of your overwhelm? First of all, being overwhelmed is a feeling. It's not an event. It's how we react to, how we respond to an event. An event is neither good nor bad. It's how we react to it that makes the difference. Being overwhelmed is about feeling like you have more to deal with than you can handle. It causes us to feel what we call stress. And that's when we believe we don't have the time, maybe the ability, the experiences, the resources to be able to handle things. Now, stress depends on our perceptions, and it varies from person to person. But let's go back to the research that was done on stress. Back in 1932, a researcher named Walter Cannon established the well-known now phenomenon fight or flight response. His work showed that when an animal experiences a shock or perceives a threat, it quickly releases hormones that help it to survive. Now, these hormones are great because they help the animal to run faster, fight harder. They increase your heart rate, blood pressure, deliver more oxygen and blood sugar to the power, those important muscles you need, and so forth. All of these physical things take place in order for the animal, or in our case, for us to survive life-threatening events. The problem is that in our modern lives, we're seldom being chased by a lion or a tiger. I haven't encountered a hippopotamus in my shopping center lately. So what has happened to us in our modern lives is that we are reacting to things as if they're life-threatening that on the surface aren't really. Now, stress does serve an important function, just like pain. Pain is not a bad thing because pain is a warning signal. It alerts us. So is stress. It's a signal. It protects us and warns us and helps us to survive. And we've heard many examples of how this works from time to time. For example, there was a young boy not too long ago in the news who rescued his mother, who was pinned under a car. By lifting the car, he was able to pull her out. That's because the hormones that kicked in when he was faced with this stressful situation enabled him to do something that perhaps otherwise he wouldn't physically have been able to do, probably because he would have thought he couldn't do it. Another story was in the news about a young man who rescued his brother from a fire. The fire had engulfed their house. And when asked how he did it, he said, "I just held my breath, closed my eyes, and crawled on the floor to the living room where my brother was asleep on the floor." When they asked him why he did it, he said, "He's my baby brother." So we are able to do things under stressful situations when we allow the adrenaline to kick in, and we've all had that experience. The problem is that many of the things that we experience are not life-threatening in that way, and yet we react to them as if they are. For example, this time of year, colleges have, well, they've probably sent out their letters already accepting or rejecting applicants. Harvard only accepts about 7% of the 29,000 undergraduate applications it receives each year. They reject a lot of people. Some of those people who get rejected from Harvard go on to attend other schools and lead happy lives. Other people respond to that rejection as if it's the end of the world, as if it's life-threatening, and somehow or another let their lives be diminished as a result. There was one particular gentleman who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine, and he says that he was rejected twice by Harvard Medical School. And a dean actually advised him to enlist in the Army, but he went to Columbia School of Medicine instead. He soon forgot all about Harvard, and he was able to create a happy life for himself. So find out the cause of your overwhelm. What is it that you think is causing your overwhelm? Now, number two, once you've done that, adjust your view, your mental view. What do I mean by that? Well, recognize that you can't control outside situations. You can only control how you react to them. One of my favorite quotes is from Wayne Dyer, who says, "When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change." The truth is that every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equivalent or a greater benefit. We just have to catch ourselves, adjust our view when these things come up. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're on your way to work. You have your fifth grader in your car, and you get a flat tire. Now, if you discover the flat tire before you leave your driveway, already you should adjust your mindset because you spotted it before you got in your car. You averted a possible accident. And if you encountered it on the road but were able to safely pull over, that's a big benefit. That's a positive thing. And the most important thing of all is you're still alive to do something about it. Now, a flat tire can be viewed differently by different people. And if you've been driving for any number of years, at some point you're going to encounter the situation. But depending on how you are involved in the situation, you can easily see how your mindset's going to be different. For example, the person driving the car, you're driving the car. To you, you might view this as a negative experience. But the tow truck driver, who you might call to come and tow your car, is going to view it as a positive experience because this is how he makes his living. The mechanic is even going to be happier if you allow him to repair or replace the tire. Your fifth grader is going to be thrilled because now he's probably going to miss school that day and get to do something that he considers more fun. Your mind is full of beliefs. And like the conductor in an orchestra, your mind determines the mood of the song. It determines which instruments you will play, and it determines the tempo of your life. So when you are able to adjust your mindset in a situation, you already are doing a lot to diffuse it. Now, I know that all situations aren't as simple as a flat tire, but I wanted to use something you can easily relate to. Number three, assess the reality of the situation. I hear so many times women in the beauty shop especially complaining about their lives. And it's so sad that we live in a culture where things that are actually blessings, things that are actually positives, we take as negatives and cause ourselves undue stress. So let's talk about the same situation, the tire, the flat tire. So assess the reality of the situation. And here's what I like to do is I like to use this sentence and plug in the situation. So the sentence goes like this. Even though blank, whatever the overwhelming situation is, I am blessed to have or be blank. I like to do that to pull myself into the reality of the situation. So let's plug in the flat tire. Even though I have a flat tire and I'm going to be late for work, I am blessed to have AAA, roadside assistance, and a phone that I can call my boss. If you assess the reality of the situation, many times we have so many ways of dealing with something that at that moment we are not recognizing, we're ignoring, and, of course, that's slowing us down to deal with the overwhelm. Number four, open your mind to the positive use of the things you just listed over in number three. So, for example, we're still doing the flat tire example. Because I have AAA roadside assistance and a telephone, I can call for help. I can call my boss and let him know I'm going to be late or perhaps even missing in action that day. And I can call a friend perhaps to pick me up, whatever the situation is. These things that you list that you can do with the things that you have to work with, these are your success tools. I call them your success tools because now you are able to handle the situation. And many times we are just not able to see that if we react in a negative way, we blind ourselves to the positive things we can do. Number five, do the inner and outer work. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you a little story. One day, a farmer's donkey fell down in a well, and the animal cried pitifully for hours, as you can imagine, as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, the farmer decided that this animal was old, and the well needed to be covered up anyway, and he decided it just wasn't worth it to retrieve this donkey from the well. So the farmer invites all his neighbors to come over and help him. They decide to grab shovels, and they began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening. They were about to bury him alive, okay? And he, of course, started crying even louder and horribly. But then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. All of a sudden, they didn't hear the donkey anymore. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down the well. He was astonished at what he saw. With each shovel of dirt that hit his back, the donkey did something amazing. He shook it off and took a step up. As the neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, the donkey would shake it off and take another step up. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed to see the donkey step over the edge of the well and happily trot off. In the end, the donkey found the right attitude toward the dirt that was hitting his back. He didn't accept it as a death sentence, as he well could have and probably was leaning that way at first. He shook off the dirt and took a step up. Now, like the donkey in this story, there are points in our lives where we will feel like we are in deep trouble, distress. It may feel like a hopeless situation. And our first reaction, because we're humans, will be to cry, will be to lament our troubles, curse, fight against the situation, and so forth. The sooner we turn from these fruitless reactions to the situation, calm ourselves down, the sooner we can discover positive actions, shake off our troubles, and rise to a satisfying solution. Now, we cannot control other people. We cannot control outside situations. We can only control ourselves. That's why I talk about the inner work and the outer work that we can do. What is the inner work? The inner work that we can do, the things we can do within, not just when things happen, but on an ongoing basis, will help us be prepared for overwhelming or what could be overwhelming situations when they occur. Just like keeping your tank filled with gas, although nowadays people kind of half fill a tank, but putting gas in your tank before you need to go someplace is important, because when you get ready to go, then you have the fuel to take you there. So the inner work, these are things you can do all the time. For example, expressing gratitude. I've seen people who have longed to have a beautiful home or a new car or whatever, and when they get it, they begin to take it for granted. Is that you? Do you do that? I catch myself sometimes and look around me and thank God for the things I have. Expressing gratitude on an ongoing daily basis is such a tremendous help to prevent you from getting overwhelmed. Of course, there are a lot of physical things we can do. For example, eating right, just like you put the right fuel in your tank, eating the things that we have been told and that we can learn are good for our bodies. Exercise doesn't have to be aerobics. You don't have to train for the Olympics. We're talking 30 minutes of exercise, walking around your block. Always take the simplest path first to get started if this is something that you've neglected in the past. Sleep. This is one of my challenges, because I get ideas all the time and I want to wake up in the middle of the night and write them down. Sleep is extremely important because, again, it is a refueling process. Meditation. Some people get a lot of benefit from meditation. Some people hesitate to even meditate because they think it's mysterious and spooky. Meditation can be just being quiet. Make some time in your day to just sit quietly. You don't have to do mantras. You don't have to do anything. Another related activity to meditation, of course, is prayer. There are many ways you can pray. It does not have to be any of the things you've seen before on television. You don't have to be on your knees or clasp your hands. But all of these things are putting you in touch with a quiet center that will help you be ready for things that come. Repeating positive affirmations. This has helped me a lot throughout my life, especially when I was encountering certain tasks that I was going to have to do. It helps to manage your thoughts. One of the things I used to say when I was about to buy my house and going through all the different challenges that came along with it, I kept saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get where I want to go. And I kept saying that over and over. I would catch myself when I started to feel worried or negative, and it helped me through that process. Laughter. Laughing is a tremendous release, and there are actually clubs and groups, laughter clubs. There's laughter therapy. If you want to laugh, you don't have to join a therapy group. Just go to YouTube and find a video of some comedian, somebody you enjoy who makes you laugh. And then, of course, following a spiritual path is also inner work, whatever your spiritual path might be. Now, what's the outer work? Outer work are the things you can do outside of yourself that will help you. One of them is called pick your battles. I know you've heard that before. There is absolutely no reason to react to every single thing that happens to you or in the world. Some things you can pass, okay? It's kind of like people who are driving down the street and they see an accident and they go toward the accident. Now, unless you are a paramedic, why are you going toward the accident? Pick your battles, deal with the things that you need to deal with that have priority, and let the others go. Take positive action. Make a plan and follow it through to the end. Sometimes just finishing a plan is such a tremendous boost to your ego, to your spirits, that it will help you in the future. It also lets you know that you have the ability to complete what you start. Plan ahead to avoid the things that have the potential for overwhelming you. So it's like leaving on a trip going cross country. There are certain things you know you need, especially if you're driving, and maintaining your car before you leave, all kinds of emergency things you can put in place. Now, this won't keep things from happening, but you do the best you can to plan for things, to plan to avoid things that could cause undue stress. Manage your time. This is a huge one. I could go on about this a lot. One of the things that people have often asked me is, how do you get so much done? Well, I manage my time. We all have 24 hours. We all have 7 days. We all have 168 hours each week. How we manage it is extremely important, and it's up to us. You have to allow some space in your activities. You cannot do two things at once. I know you think you can, which gets me to my favorite tip. Say yes to yourself and no to other people. Now, I don't mean run around being antagonistic, being mean. I just mean that you can't be in two places at once. You can't take care of all your business and everybody else's. So you have to make choices. Now, long ago, before cell phones were popular, I used to see people driving down the road on their way to work. They would be combing their hair. I saw a guy shaving one day. I'm serious. He was looking in his rearview mirror. He was shaving, had a cup of coffee. I've seen people doing two or three things when they're driving down the road. Now that we have the advent of the cell phone, text messaging has become such a dangerous thing. People trying to send text messages while they drive, that it has, of course, become a law that if you're caught doing that, that is, if you don't kill yourself in an accident, that you're going to get a hefty fine because it is very dangerous. So saying no to text messaging while you're driving, for example, would be an example. You can turn your phone off. Did you know you can turn your phone off? Please ask the people at your phone store how to turn your phone on to vibrate, or better yet, turn it off if you're busy doing something. This whole thing about multitasking is one of the things that is causing us more stress than anything. Hang out with your peeps. By that I mean find folks who share your ideas. Find folks who celebrate you, not tolerate you. It is said that if you want to soar with the eagles, you must hang out with eagles, not with turkeys. Number 6, replace what no longer serves you. As your life progresses, there will be things you've accumulated, things in your home, things in your office, habits, behaviors, even people, relationships that no longer serve you. And if you continue to keep these things in your life, they're weighing you down mentally, psychologically, and financially. I know you've heard of the TV show Hoarders. people who have gotten to such a high level of accumulating clutter that it has affected their minds and they're not able to let go of it. They have to have special intervention to do that. I can remember buying the same item twice sometimes because I could not find the first one I had bought maybe months before. I was looking at my books one day and realized I had two of the same identical book because I did not remember or couldn't find, realize that I had already bought that book before. Get rid of those things that are cluttering your life, even habits, foods. I went to dinner with a friend the other day to a restaurant I was looking forward to going to and got there. We ate our dinner, and I realized as I ate the food that I didn't like that kind of food anymore. That food is not appealing to my taste buds anymore. So it would not make sense for me to continue to go there. It is no longer serving me. My body is sending me a message. It doesn't like that food anymore. If there's a food that aggravates your system, for example, don't go out and seek a pill that will rid you of the discomfort that that food is causing you. Just avoid that food. So replace what no longer serves you. And number 7, share with and support others. The best way to forget about your problems and your overwhelm is to help others, to share your time with others. But also it's important to celebrate when you have made an accomplishment, to celebrate with your friends, celebrate on your own, whatever way you want to do it. I can guarantee you that as you laugh, as you share, as you help others, your blood pressure, your muscle tensions, your overwhelm will go down. And at that moment, your receptivity to good feelings and new ideas will go up, and you will discover that you'll be able to create and accomplish so much more. I love to listen to or watch the History Channel. And one time on the History Channel, there was a program about the invention of the light bulb and the difference it has made in our lives, because before the light bulb, people were not able to have their stores open at night. People tended to kind of shut down at night. And now we have cities that run around the clock. As a matter of fact, they use it as part of their advertising campaigns. Cities like New York and Las Vegas that say, "We never sleep." Well, that may be great for the city, but sadly for you as an individual, you can't afford to not sleep. You have to work into your life all those things that help to make it balanced, because these will prevent overwhelm. It's going to rain sometimes in your life. It's going to rain in your city, even in Southern California. Sometimes excessively it rains. And then there will be times when there will be no rain, there will be a drought, and the farmers will begin to get worried. In our area, people begin to worry about fire. These are all things that happen in our lives. And being prepared by doing our inner and outer work will help us deal with things when they come up. Accept the fact that a burst of energy or a deadline to finish a job, these aren't bad things. They motivate us to accomplish our goals. But the secret is balance. Take your cue from nature. Go with the flow of nature. The sun rises, so should we. The sun goes down, so should we wind down, change our tempo. You can't prevent the bad things that happen in the world, and you can't control other things, but you can control how you react, and that will enable you to deal with overwhelm and will help you know how to get back to overjoyed whenever you need to. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're ready to write your book, go on over to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. In the meantime, return next Monday, June 20th, to join me at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another show. I'm going to ask you to do something I ask you to do every time at the end of the show, and that is have a blessed week, and remember, color your life happy. Color your life.